Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English to Africa service of The Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clote in Washington, D.C.
We need to feel ashamed. We need to feel sorry about our country. What is happening here cannot happen elsewhere and cannot be entertained elsewhere. Figure out this. We have gone 2 months back to back without fuel.
A Malawi civil society group plans to protest economic challenges beginning on Monday.
But indeed, the type of protests are much more calmed. And it's just, in my view, what is happening is that the opposition parties and some sides of the social society, they are just aiming to keep the momentum.
Groups including the Law Association of Mozambique call for dialogue to ease political tensions in the country.
The 30% is not really, you know, taking care of their needs. If you look at the high food prices due to the post-COVID issues and also the war in Ukraine.
And the Gambian president Adama Barrow announces a 30% salary increase for public sector workers. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. In Malawi, a civil society group called the Center for Democracy and Economic Development Initiatives, or CDEDI, is organizing a nationwide protest against the challenging economic conditions beginning Monday. Sylvester Namiwa, the executive director of CDEDI, says the government has not been able to resolve the challenges facing the country despite repeated promises. Key reasons for the protest, Namiwa says, include concerns over governance, economic mismanagement, and other pressing national issues. The demonstration is officially backed by the main opposition Democratic Progressive Party, or DPP, and the United Transformation Movement, or UTM. This prompted critics to accuse both the DPP, UTM, and leaders of the civil society groups of playing politics to reduce public support for the government. But Sylvester Namiwa tells me that officials who are not performing should be forced to resign so more competent people can address that challenges facing the country.
First of all, let me make a passionate appeal to every Malawian on every corner of the globe. Those that are here, including those that are in diaspora, we need to feel ashamed. We need to feel sorry about our country. What is happening here cannot happen elsewhere and cannot be entertained elsewhere. Figure out this. We have gone 2 months back to back without fuel. And as this is happening, you know, Malawi is an agro-based economy. We don't have fertilizer. While on the countryside, our people, the voters, are surviving on wild tubers, wild beans. Others are literally starving to death. As all this is happening, we have a leader who is crisscrossing the corners of this world. Is always in the sky. If it is not in the U.S., it's in China. The following day is in Germany. Now we are saying, let's wake up, Malawians. Let's save this country because it is heading towards destruction beyond recognition.
But that is not a fair criticism to make about the president, because the president, from day one, his supporters say, has been going around seeking investment to create jobs for the people of Malawi to solve the economic challenges that he came to meet, and that it will take a little bit of time for the measures that he has implemented to bear fruit. So these criticisms, they said, are just politically motivated.
Great. He has been in power for 4 years. Now, as they say, the proof of pudding is in the eating. Don't you think that 4 years is reasonable enough that we should have been accruing, we should be harvesting the fruits from his trips, assuming that it is genuine? For the past 4 years, he has failed to find a solution to now what is now perennial forex challenge. Now, think of this. In an economy without fuel, without forex, without fertilizer, without food, what do you expect? This is an economy that has collapsed. In fact, our major problem, just to borrow President Jacquita's own words, is leadership. We have got a leadership crisis. This is why I'm saying all of us here in Malawi and those in diaspora, we should feel ashamed because we have allowed our country to proceed on autopilot.
So what is the core reason why you are embarking on this yet again demonstration beginning on Monday?
Straightforward, we are demanding the immediate resignation of the Minister of Energy, Ibrahim Matola. One of his core responsibilities is to ensure that the Malawians have seamless supply of fuel and gas. Now, for the past 2 months, we haven't had that opportunity. Malawians are spending day and night on a pumping station, queuing for a product that is not there in the first place. This is unprecedented. It has never happened. Secondly, we are calling for the head of the Malawi Energy Regulatory Authority, Henry Kajaji, to also step down. The good thing about Kajaji is that we have just gathered that his contract expired in August. Now he's occupying that office illegally when actually things are not okay. The third thing is we are demanding that the president should act on his own secretary, that is Colleen Nzamba, because she has been mentioned in all the scandals that are being orchestrated to literally hoodwink Malawians into believing that National Oil Company of Malawi is doing something, when actually they have reduced it to a cash cow for Colleen Nzamba and her colony.
Namiwa, the main opposition party, the DPP, the Democratic Progressive Party, has written a letter supporting your strike on Monday. This is why supporters of the other opposition parties, including the MCP, the Malawi Congress Party, the governing party, saying that these demonstrations that your organization has been organizing, a series of them, appears to be politically motivated to make the government unpopular.
But think of this. Is it true that you have got a few crises in Malawi? Have you ever seen a statement from the president? The sentiments you are quoting, they are just kicks from a dying horse.
Sylvester Namiwa is the executive director of CDEDI. He spoke with me from the Malawian capital, Lilongwe. Several groups, including the Law Association of Mozambique, are calling for dialogue to ease political tensions in the country. This following weeks of protests against the outcome of the recent general election. It comes after outgoing President Philippe Nyusi called on opposition leaders, including Venancio Mondlane, the runner-up of last month's presidential contest, for dialogue. The move aims to help resolve protests and subsequent violence that have left at least 30 people dead. The demonstrations broke out October 24 when the nation's election commission declared ruling Frelimo party candidate Chapo the winner with nearly 71% of the vote. Mondlane and his Podemos party, who the commission said came in second with 20% of the vote, challenged the count and called for protests. For analysis of the latest political development, I reached Rodrigo Rocha. He is a lawyer and political commentator in Mozambique.
Indeed, there has been a call for that conversation and for some sort of a negotiation for an amicable settlement of the matters that are being in dispute. It started actually with the Bar Association, the Mozambican Lawyers Association, asking for that to happen, and then it started to spread through all the other sectors of the social status of our community. And of course, it was leading to that. The president himself called the four candidates for his succession to hold a conversation. I'm not sure about if the date is already agreed between everyone, but in principle, it will start to happen by early next week.
But do you think the situation is calming down because political parties are calling their supporters to show restraint?
Indeed, the type of protests that we are seeing tend to reduce. Although yesterday it was different from what we've seen in the rest of the week, where there was a lot of periods where there was some protests. But indeed, the type of protests are much more calmed, And it's just, in my view, what is happening is that the opposition parties and some sides of the social society, they are just aiming to keep the momentum and coming with protests so that the momentum for the negotiations and the momentum for some sort of easy relations between all parties do not get cold.
Where do the people of Mozambique go, especially when the outcome of the election is still being disputed?
What I have seen is that the protests are happening mainly in the capital, Maputo, and in the neighboring town of Matola. If we go towards the other cities of Mozambique, we don't see the same dimension as we are seeing in Maputo and in the nearby city of Matola. And to be totally honest, the entire population of Maputo and Matola, they are not even half of what we have in the rest of the country. So if we say that the people of Maputo and Matola, they are protesting, yes, indeed, we agree. To say that the whole country is protesting, I have a certain doubt about that allegation.
What are people saying is the best way forward to bring normalcy to Mozambique?
People are aiming and claiming for change. And the change from those protesters includes the different mindsets of how the government should treat the majority of the population. They claim that the poverty have not reduced in the last years, that the situation are the same, and they are claiming for a different approach from the governmental authorities to deal with these sort of issues. Also, school, the type of schools that we have, which in certain cases are still, the classrooms are huts that if there is a strong wind, it will take the classroom away. People are saying that this needs to change. We cannot have one sort of an elite governing, and the people, if we go to the interior, do not have the sufficient way to improve their own quality of life. But again, this is what the people in the capital of Maputo and in the neighboring town of Matola are saying when they are protesting. Indeed, there is a need to make that change of mindset. There is a need to make a different approach and how the government is dealing with certain type of matters. But the claim is coming basically from the main city, where actually all the conditions are there.
Rodrigo Rocha is a lawyer and political commentator in Mozambique. He spoke with me from the capital, Maputo.
Hello, I'm Vincent McCauley, host of Straight Talk Africa. Join me to explore what is now and what is next for African society, culture, and politics. We'll go behind the headlines and emerging trends shaping Africa today. Straight Talk Africa, every Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
The executive director of a civil society group called Governance and Development Advocates Zambia says a lack of financial support is hampering efforts by trade unions and civil society from holding the administration accountable to the public. Elias Molenga also says some of the civil society groups have become ineffective due to what critics say is their close relationship with the government. The comments come after local media reports say employment of top civil society leaders into government seems to have weakened the group's advocacy group. Critics also say civil society has failed to reset its priorities after the former ruling Patriotic Front, or PF, was defeated by the United Party for National Development, or UPND, in the last general election. For more on the concerns about the performance of civil society, I reach Elias Molenga.
The challenges that civil society organizations and trade unions are facing is lack of funding. We do not have funding to provide the proper checks and balances to the opposition and to the government. You'll find that there are times when the government will have performed well and there is really no one to disseminate the information on what the government is doing. Also, there's no one also to disseminate the challenges that the opposition are facing. They are aggrieved, even the government also is aggrieved in some way. There's no proper coordination. And you cannot just take the government and the opposition to manage the nation. You need civil society organization to come on board. You need trade unions to come on board so that they are able to disseminate proper information basing on the constitution of Zambia.
Elias, some have also expressed concern that the lack of funding appears to be partly the doing of the civil society organizations, because the criticism is that they have failed to research since some leading members of civil society organizations were hired to be part of the government.
That is one concern, because usually what used to happen in the old regime that I noticed, you find that if the civil society organization comes on board to challenge the government will either get that person, or maybe the opposition will get that person and affiliate them to their party. So that is another challenge that we have been facing. But that has also been a source of concern. The contribution to such is funding. If you have got all that it takes as a civil civil society organization, you have transport modes, you have proper PR, you have proper means of reaching out to people, and there's no interference in your work, you cannot go and line up for money from the government. You cannot go line up for money from the opposition. You stand in between and guide and speak for the people and the voiceless.
Do you think funding alone is the cause of the lack of effectiveness of the civil society organizations? Because Zambia used to have a very robust civil society organization, political
you're right.
Landscape.
It is actually a difficult thing. We have actually experienced a situation where the opposition would become unruly, knowing the laws of Zambia, that this, if they do it, it will spark commotion in the nation. But they will do it deliberately so that they can complain to the international community. And the international community will just pick it from there without getting back to the actual problem, where the problem is. So that has been a source of concern. The last 2-3 years of the UPND governance, we have seen that most of the civil society organizations, those that were vocal, were already paid off by the other regime. Those who were compromised, they were compromised because they thought the former ruling party, the Patriotic Front, will continue in power. And they got too much money from that party, and they failed now to come on board because they have exposed themselves. Others have run to the UPAD to go and seek for jobs or line up for jobs, and they've been given the jobs. So this is why we're seeing, maybe our civil society organization in Zambia is shrinking. We are there, us who are vocal, and we are able to do this work. The challenges that we have is lack of finances.
Elias Mulenga is the executive director of a civil society group called Governance and Development Advocates Zambia. He spoke with me from the capital, Lusaka. In Uganda, a spokesperson for the opposition National Unity Platform, or NUP, says that 19 members of the party pardoned by President Yoweri Museveni should not have been prosecuted by a military court. Alex Weiswa says the NUP stands by its assertion that the party supporters were coerced to admitting to being guilty of treachery and the illegal possession of firearms, who had admitted to wrongdoing. For more reactions to the presidential pardon of the 19 NUP supporters, I reach Alex Weiswa. He is a deputy spokesperson for the opposition party.
Well, these are innocent citizens who are not supposed to have been in jail in the first time. It is a shame to government that civilians are being tried in kangaroo courts of the court martial where we have a ruling from the courts of judicature, Court of the Constitutional Court and Court of Appeal, that ruled that it is an illegality for civilians to be tried in the general court martial. So there is nothing to reconcile about. It is a sigh of relief, but then it is also a challenge of so many Ugandans out there who are still languishing in prison because they have been persecuted and prosecuted in the general court martial. So whereas it is a sigh of relief that our comrades can see their families, can interact with their family members, it is equally a challenge that we liberate the nation from such occurrences never to happen in our history.
Alex, what do you say to those who are saying the NUP should be grateful rather than being critical of the administration?
First of all, what is critical is that whatever is happening, their admission on our admission is out of an illegality. It is out of blackmail. It is out of subjugation and coercion. So it is not something that we can even discuss. The members in those that have been allegedly pardoned are still unequivocal on their stance of what Uganda should be. They still believe that they should do whatever is humanly possible to liberate our country. In fact, some of them have even noted that if it means them going back to jail, they will not relent on what they stood for.
You said they shouldn't have been in jail in the first place before they were incarcerated. But if that was the case and they were forced under duress to admit wrongdoing that they didn't do and they are willing to go back, why did they admit it before being released? They should have rejected the deal.
These are people who have been... My brother, it is not easy to judge people who have been in prison for 4 years. These are mothers, these are fathers, these are elders, these are brothers and sisters of people. So we cannot judge them for whatever decision they made. They were the ones behind the jails. They are giving us audios of how that transpired. And we believe them, we are with them, and we don't need to doubt them.
I remember Bobby Wine accusing Minister Balaam Barugahara of visiting the jail NUP supporters in prison and, quote, pressuring them to plead guilty and seek President Museveni's forgiveness or else never leave prison. Do you stand by this accusation? Because some people are saying this is yet another attempt by NUP to whitewash the violation of the law.
Olivia Altaya, I think you will speak to her in the coming days, has given the ordeal. We can unequivocate about that. The president was spot on. He was with substantive intelligence, and indeed the intelligence is factual, that actually Balaam is responsible for this criminal act.
Where does the NUP go from here after receiving these pardoned?
They have comrades in jail, and NUP is anchored on overthrowing the status quo, and that is our policy, that is our goal, that is our ambition, and that we have never set our eyes off.
Alex Waiswa is a spokesperson for the opposition National Unity Platform, or NUP, spoke with me from the Ugandan capital, Kampala. The international community warns that as many as 2 million children and 1 million pregnant or lactating mothers in South Sudan are facing acute malnutrition, poor access to safe drinking water, sanitation, and the spread of disease continue to fuel the crisis. For VOA, Sheila Pony reports from the South Sudanese capital, Juba.
The latest Integrated Food Security Phase Clarification report shows that nearly 8 million of South Sudan's 12 million people will face acute food insecurity during the 2025 rain season, which begins in April.
The country is still reeling from decades of war and intercommunal fights. UNICEF says, and the world needs to come together to save more than 2 million children and more than 1 million pregnant or lactating mothers from malnutrition.
The number of children and pregnant and breastfeeding women in need of urgent assistance has actually increased, as we expected, definitely. And this is not only because of the current situation, but it has been a persistent situation of malnutrition within the number of counties.
An influx of 800,000 refugees and returnees fleeing conflict in neighboring Sudan is further straining South Sudan's food security, stretching already limited resources. In Bor, 70 kilometers north of Juba, Nyanator Adur Riek, a pregnant mother of five, has returned home to rebuild her life. She said when they left during the conflict in 2013, her children were malnourished. Riek hopes her unborn child will have a healthier future. A small kitchen garden fenced with old bamboo near her compound offers a glimmer of hope. Riek says with the Right to Grow project, her children are now not malnourished. She has learned to plant groundnuts, which, she says, are like the plump nuts given to children in nutrition centers for malnourished children. For another mother, Anyeth Anyang Deng, insecurity and flooding have turned survival into a daily struggle. She says at home, insecurity has taken everything, even her cows. When she goes to the forest to farm, it's not safe. Insecurity is everywhere, she says. She and others used to dig and grow food, but now that's no longer possible. Bor County Health Officer Jacob Ajak sees the effects of malnutrition firsthand.
The challenge is because of no food in the community. If we admit child today, the child get treatment and the child can recover. When it goes back to the family, he got no food. Food we have. What I have mentioned before is the nutrition centers, but we have early centers. The challenge is the drug. We have no drug there. The little drug we get them from the partners, like UNICEF. When a child gets sick and the family has no power for the child to take the child to the private clinic.
Save the Children is setting up centers to provide food supplements for malnourished children. But UNICEF says more is needed to prevent and treat malnutrition. Sheila Poni, VOA News, Juba, South Sudan.
In the Gambia, President Adama Barrow has announced a 30% salary increase for public sector workers beginning January 2025. The president says the announcement followed a comprehensive assessment of the prevailing economic challenges facing the public. The move, which will see workers' pay increase by $42 a month, was aimed to help prevent workers from engaging in unethical practices. But some analysts say the increase may not be enough for workers to feed their families due to the tough economic conditions. For more reaction, Irate Inje Nyang is a political commentator in the Gambian capital, Banjul.
A poor person, whatever you give them, be it a penny, they will still take it because it adds to their bottom line. However, the 30% is not really, you know, taking care of their needs. If you look at the high food prices due to the post-COVID issues and also the war in Ukraine, considering that wheat is part of our staple and it comes. Also, the foreign exchange, which affects rice and other commodities, has really impacted adversely on the purchasing power of the average Gambian. So this 30% is not helping much. However, what the government should have done is to have a comprehensive civil service reform right-sized government, have a lean, mean administration with less people, then they can reevaluate everybody's salary, and the savings they would have made would have given people a good salary, including a security of tenure.
Do you think the public sector reforms called by civil society groups, including those who want government to be more efficient, is pragmatic enough, and what has been the reaction of the government?
Well, government is a service provider, and if you compare government to a business profitability is dollars and cents, and government's profitability or efficiency is good service delivery. And honestly, the service delivery level has been very poor because the people are not well remunerated, and also they're not energized. So what can change that is for government to really look into it. So it's a must for the government to do a comprehensive rather than a piecemeal. The salary is just one aspect of it, but the environment that civil servants work need to be better. The incentives, i.e. housing and other things, need to be better, especially for police, teachers, and nurses. So these are things that's not helping public service delivery in the Gambia, and only a comprehensive civil service reform will take care of these issues.
Some people are suggesting that the 30% might not even be enough due to the difficult economic challenges. However, the government is also talking about the fact that if there were to be more, the public sector workers will get more. Where do you stand on that?
Well, you know, in life, people get what they negotiate, not what they deserve. That's one. And everything is a priority, but we have competing priorities. This government spends a lot of money on travel, luxury cars, paying for embassies in countries that we don't have an economic interest, because diplomacy has moved from political diplomacy to economic diplomacy. So we need to rationalize our total expenditure and do a deliberate effort on making savings. And these savings can be redirected to make sure that people in the public service are well taken care of, so that the average Gambian will have good public service delivery from the people we pay.
Njie Nyang is a political commentator in The Gambia. He spoke with me from the capital, Banjul. This is The Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs, and music from our African collection. But first, now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospect in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. Some time ago, President Xi Jinping of China formulated what he called initiatives for global development. During the just concluded 2020 summit in Brazil, President Lula took that theme and made it the center of the summit. When President Xi Jinping arrived in Brazil, he said that he fully endorsed the theme for the summit, but went on to add that China on its own has initiated a policy to end hunger and poverty in the African continent. This came as a surprise, because it showed China's fundamental policy to do all in its power to help the African continent. While the Africans welcome China's policy of eradicating poverty and hunger in the continent, the task should not be left to China alone. It presents an opportunity for the African states to organize themselves and work within the context of the African Union to formulate their own concepts or plans as to how you can eradicate poverty and hunger in the continent. This, of course, could be done if the African state and the African Union put their shoulder to the wheel and make serious efforts among themselves to prepare the steps that will assist China in its effort to eradicate poverty and hunger. In this regard, the African Union and the African states should seize upon this opportunity and to make sure that in selecting the next chairman of the African Union, that they seriously consider the capability of the next chairman. Africa must abandon its tendency to put political consideration when they select the person to be the chairman. One needs modern and technical leadership in these serious efforts of eradicating poverty and hunger in the continent. This is something which could be done. We have an example in the late African Union Commission leader, the late President Professor Adedeji of Nigeria, who in many years as the head of the ECA produced many studies that are useful to eradicate poverty and promote economic development. But these were not followed through by the African Union or before it, the OAU. If the Africans are serious and produce such technical reports which could be assembled by the African Union, this will make the task of China easier. And it will be an opportunity next year when South Africa hosts the summit of the G20 to discuss this matter thoroughly. So the lesson that one should learn is stop playing politics in the selection of the chairman of the African Union. Look for someone with the technical capability to produce such a study. And thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Juna, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs. It's Sunday on Nightline Africa, and this is the time we get to relax and reflect, a flashback with music from the continent. Oh,
famous. Hello, 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 hello. Get one life for live. Why we never use our gladi gladi and enjoy the time? Palava no de finish. Time in order with nobody. Now why are the time for always get some nice every day and night? This one way we all fend we safe. Not nobody own. You wanna get rich too much, we go down the belly. I lie you young. And the balance where you go die left. Now all the money on. So why for the three you say for? Find us where you collect Bilam, Bilam, oh. You meet a woman where you let Yanam, Yanam. And if you let the man, I for keep on. Want them more. The food where you feel for it, I for eat them, eat them. That fine, fine, the power where you let, I for buy them. And I am more. And if you baby love him, you back love them, love them. But if you love them all, now you not for left them. Want them more. Nobody, nobody know. Nobody know what in tomorrow old. So every day of my life, here old. I'm passing enjoyment, stay gold. I fall and care for yourself. Nobody love you, pass to yourself. All man, they fed for yourself. Oh. Now why are not the allowed with the other man, they panting. Me peace away, away. Me joy away, away. Me smile away, away. Oh, no, no. No, make nobody take you peace away, away. Me joy away. Every day, every day, every day. I see the hustle, they for the pay. They like la boku on a small little cage. Land for the loose body, one, no one ten. No to money, no to gentry. No more they make, but a man and bother. As long as you get waiting, you they eat. Land for the loose body, one, no one ten. This one way, we all fend, we safe. Now nobody own. You want to eat with you much, we go down the belly. Now you know you young. Get the balance where you go, die left. Now all the money on. So why for the pity you say for? Tell the motor car where you let buy em, buy em. If you see finals where you collect Bilam, Bilam, oh. You meet a woman where you let Yanam, Yanam. And if you let me man, I for keep em, want them more. The food where you feel for eat some for eat em, eat em. That fine, fine, the power you let na for buy em, and try em, oh. Baby love you, you back love them, love them. But if you love them all, now you not forever. Want them more. Cause nobody, nobody know. Nobody know what's in tomorrow old. So every day of my life, here old. I'm passing enjoyment, stay gold. Now fall and for care for yourself. Nobody love you, pass to yourself. All man, they fed for yourself. Oh. Now why are not the allowed with the other man? They part, take me peace away. Away. Me joy away. Smile away, away. Oh no no, no make nobody take your peace away, away. Me joy away, away. Me smile away, away. Oh no no.
Do the things you like. I'm not gonna ever tell no lies. I'll go buy you things you like. Baby, not only you I want. I don't know. Said to love not the lie. Oh no, no. To love not the high. Oh baby. Oh baby, got the little things you do can drive me crazy.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Are the little, little things you do can drive me crazy. Now me and you for life. Forever in my arms. We'll never leave lonely. We'll never walk away. Baby, now me and you for life. Forever in my hands. I'll never leave lonely. I'll never walk away.
I love me to kiss your pain away.
Mama.
Oh,
can you go for love, for love? Oh, mama.
Oh,
I go love you. Love you. I go hold you,
hold you,
hold you.
Oh, no, 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 no.
I'm not gonna leave you anyway. Me, I go do the things you like. I'm not gonna ever tell the lies. I go buy you things you like. Lie. Oh no, no, true love don't they hide. Oh baby, oh baby, daddy, little, little things you do can drive me crazy. Oh baby, oh baby, daddy, little, little things you do can drive me crazy. Now me and you fly forever in my arms. We'll never leave lonely. We'll never walk away. Baby, now me and you for life. Forever in my hands. We'll never leave lonely. We'll never walk away. Everything we choose, I'm alive. Never mind for dying in your hand, yeah. Die in your hand, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, when I look at you, I see my future in you. When you smile, my baby. But I love my baby. You got the keys right to my city.
Oh,
yeah, me no one for lifting.
Oh, baby. Now the little, little things you do can drive me crazy. Sweetie, now me and you fly. Forever in my arms. We'll never leave lonely. We'll never walk away.
Baby, now me and you fly. Forever in my arms.
Pikiwe wa wedi papa intro sisi go fashion.
That was our Sunday music spot. Hope you enjoyed the music from Nightline Africa here at the English to Africa service of the Voice of America in Washington. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we're on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, including producer Nicole Peters and engineer Bob Bass, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, if you fill your head with pride, you will lack the space for wisdom. I'm your host, Peter Clote in Washington. Good evening, Africa. Best body because it is fame. Salomon gets bad idea, now we change. If we come together, now so we all go elevate. Mr. DJ, not to forget music, no more for the play.